Hi there, thank you very much indeed for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm delighted to be joined by my Racing Post colleague Keith Melrose and David Jennings, as well as Paddy Power's super shrewd Ryan McHugh, to look ahead to a fabulous weekend. It's really, really good race. Well, one absolutely sensational race. I can't wait to get stuck into that. So the ITV cameras are at Sandown, at Haydock and at Leicester. And then we've got all the rest of the Saturday stuff. There's a couple of listed races at Navan on Sunday. I know the boys have been studying those, so we'll see what they come up with. We'll have all the naps as well. Loads to get through. We'll start with Sandown. There are four races on the ITV main channel as we bid goodbye to the jump season. And we'll start with the 155 over 2 miles. It's the Bet365 Novices Championship Final. It's a handicap hurdle and it's a tricky one to start with. Ryan, talk us through the latest betting from Paddy Power.
Yeah, Celestial Force heads our betting at the moment, Bruce, at 4-1. It's 6-1 on to victory. 7-1, Guilo. The next horse in is 7-1 as well, Gary Moores. I think he's a very hard horse to pronounce. I'll leave that to the lads. Lily Peddler is at 8, along with Rockstar Ronnie, and it's bigger price than the rest.
Roy Onumi. Do you know what that means?
That's the one. I do not.
I think it means United Kingdom. I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Yeah, it's United Kingdom in French, isn't it?
United Kingdom in French. There you go. Okay, right. Keith, you can go first. This looks tricky, is it?
Yes. I won't be having a massive bet in this one because you could. It's one of these races where you could have a horse with half a stone in hand and finish third. The one I will be backing is On to Victory. He's technically top on RPRs and what he did at Warwick, but he also went through the Betfair hurdle at Newbury like he was a lot better than finishing in mid-division suggests. So he's obviously can cut it in these big field handicaps. I think he's going to be a bit stronger for that. Yeah, it's 7-1. That's more than a sporting chance at the odds. I think he's going to be quite a bit better than 127, which is his current mark.
On to Victory is Keith's first selection of the day. Has that stolen your thunder, DJ, or are you going to go for someone else?
No, I think I've spotted one here, Bruce, and it's quite a topical name as well, given the last 12 or 18 months, what we've been through. I like Isolate here for Alan King. I think this is a plot. I really do think this is a plot. I watched this horse running last time at Stratford, and it was quite bizarre. Tom Cannon rode him, but Stephanie Causeway, who was brilliant at Ayr the other day, is a real improving juvenile hurdler. But Isolate was kind of held up way at the back, way off the pace, and travelled quite well and wasn't never really put into the race, to be honest with you. Now, that was Isolate's first run since December, where he actually ran in the Betfair hurdle and only went off 14-1. He was too keen there. And I would say, given the prize money that's on offer here, there's nearly 40,000 sterling to the winner of this race. And given the prize money in Britain of late, I'd say a lot of trainers have been targeting this race. And Isolate strikes me as one that's definitely been aimed at this. If you just go back to Taunton in October, and I do think the horse is better going right-handed as well, Isolate beat Glory and Honour, who's now rated 129. And 19.5 lengths behind him in third was none other than Celestial Force, who was actually favoured for this race. Now, obviously, Celestial Force has improved a lot since then, but I just think Alan King, now it's a complete guess, but I think Alan King has had this race in mind for Isolate all season, given the prize money that's on offer. And I think 16-1 is a big price.
Okay, the lads both think Alan King will win the opener at Sandown, but with different horses. What do you think, Ryan?
I'm in agreement with Keith on this. I think On the Victory might be the one. It hasn't been plain sailing for him, you could say, since he went hurdling a couple of falls earlier on, but he's getting his act together of late. He's some form in big field handicaps, both in the flat, on the flat and over hurdles. And I think when you look at some of these horses, they ran in small field novices, so it might be a little bit new to them in a race of this nature. So as Keith said, 127 looks more than fair just based on his flat form alone. But he does have some hurdle form to suggest that he's a bit in hand off that mark. There's probably plenty that are well handicapped in the race, but On to Victory around 6-1. I think he'll run a solid race.
Thanks, chaps. Two votes for On to Victory and one for Isolate. Let's move on to the 2:30 at Sandown on Saturday. It's over 2 miles, 6.5 furlongs, the Bet365 Oaksy Chase, grade 2, and pathetically only 4 runners. Come on, you're moaning about prize money and only 4 of you have bothered to turn up. It's not good enough. But we've got a lovely Frodon heading the market, haven't we, Ryan?
Yeah, 4-6, Bruce. 15-8, Mr. Fisher. 7-1, Born Survivor. And then the outsider of the 4, Militarian at 25s.
And without further ado, over to the president of the Mr. Fisher fan club, David Jennings, even.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's one of these horses, Bruce, that just is going to wreck my head for the rest of my life, or probably the rest of his. Like, I know this horse has huge natural ability. I know it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I know that it's there. But it's just going to be so frustrating, because I think he's going to be one of these horses, Mr. Fisher, that is just going to produce a wow performance every so often. And I do think he's going to be in and out. I think he's going to want better ground. Now, here, right, you've got a match, right? You've got, I don't think Born Survivor can win, and I don't think Militarian can win. So you've got a match between Froden and Mr. Fisher. So there are professional, successful punters who rightly will have Froden as their main bet of the day, because you know he's going to run to a level of in or around, probably, he'll probably run to somewhere about 165, probably. In or around there, I'd imagine, right? I think Mr. Fisher can run better than that, but in order to do that, he has to put everything together. He has to jump the whole way like he jumped the first five fences at Aintree. He has to settle like he settled probably the day against Kalashnikov in the Peterborough Chase at Cheltenham. He needs to do everything right. So for me, it's a no-bet race. I obviously love Mr. Fisher, and I think one day, someday, he will contest the Gold Cup and he will be up to that level. But for me, it's just a watch and brief, Bruce, and hope Mr. Fisher can finally put it all together. Whether he can be Froden, I don't know, but I think it's within his capability. So I'm sorry, it's a no-bet race for me.
Okay. I think, Ryan, it will be a bet race for a lot of people who look at Mr. Fisher's faults and his form figures, where there's, you know, more letters than numbers these days, and just think that good old Froden is solid, and 4-6 is a perfectly good price.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll go into a lot of multis for punters. It looks fairly straightforward to me. DJ's obviously a fan of Mr. Fisher, but he's just too in and out. You know what you're going to get from Froden. He's going to jump well, very uncomplicated from the front. He clearly didn't stay the Gold Cup trip last time. He's banged there, turning in, and just faded up to straight Native River and eventually caught him for fourth. He actually hasn't had an overly hard season, although he has run one of King George and finished fifth in the Gold Cup. I think this is only his fifth run of the season and second this calendar year, so it's not as if he's coming here. You'd imagine he'd be relatively fresh coming here. Very uncomplicated. If he got out a 4-6, he wouldn't interest me. But if he got out towards even money, if DJ's money came from Mr. Fisher, Froden would interest me if he got a little bit bigger. But it's a no bet race for me. I think it'd be straightforward for Froden.
No, I'm a no backer. I'm letting him run, Ryan. I'm hoping that the joy I would get from seeing him producing a top class performance will be enough for me.
This can happen though, DJ. Closer to the race, when you see him, you're like, well, I won't. I may as well just back him. And people think like that, Froden.
Yeah, I reckon DJ will get involved. Keith, where do you stand with Froden on here? Because, I mean, you know, if he gets to evens, as Ryan suggests, he's a huge bet, isn't he?
Yeah, he should be 2-5, shouldn't he?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, I know there's lots of people who say, oh, odds on, I'm not interested, but everything has their price.
Yeah, I was
4-6 and thinking I might unleash.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I wish Graham was on. He was on last week, wasn't he? And he says he never backs odds on, but you've got a horse here that's 4-6 that should... You can't. I'm not saying he definitely wins, but you can't convince me he's not a 2-5 chance. You know, he's just. I feel for DJ. I've been in that position myself, just absolutely longing for a horse to put on the performance that you think he's got in him. And I think Mr. Fisher probably does have a performance that would get him within 4 or 5 lengths of Froden when he puts it all in. But you know, Froden is famously reliable. Mr. Fisher, the fences have been getting in the way, and now he runs at Sandown, where there's lots of fences to get in. You know, it's sort of got a sympathy for the position. He's got that ability, but it just sets up. It's a perfect race for Froden. And you know, I'm a bit the same as you. If he starts to drift, I will definitely get involved, because this is a horse that should be longer odds on than he is.
And Keith, I had a little bit of a whine about the numbers in this race. I mean, do you have any sympathy for the connections? Can you see why we've only ended up with 4, or do you agree that it's just a pretty poor show?
Well, I think there's a bit of cross purposes in this discussion, because we talk about prize money in Britain, and I'm in danger of going a bit monomaniacal about this, but I think the two are different things. You know, if you campaign horses in pot hunt and try and pick up prize money in this race, you end up suffering for your handicap mark. And the trainers that win big handicaps don't do that. They have one day all year. And that's the day. And, you know, I think the two are sort of contradictory almost in their way. I'm going to talk later about a race where it's a 22 grand race at Ripon that 3 have turned up for. It's, you know, there's a lot of...
The only thing I'll say about this is, lads, like, for the Punchestown Gold Cup, so a similar type of horse, like Froden could potentially run the Punchestown Gold Cup next week. Clan de Zobo runs there, and it looks like it's going to be a cracking race. To the winner of that race, there's 147,000 euros, which I suppose is the equivalent of about 125,000 sterling. There's 23,919 to the winner of this race. 23,919 is an insult to Froden. It's an insult to him.
But it's not the Clan de Zobo's not running this issue here. There's not more born survivors.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I mean, it could end up being a fantastic race, couldn't it? But and to be honest, if Frodon starts getting towards evens, I'd be quite happy about the field side, because he'll be a lump on job. Talking of lump on jobs, I need to hear what you guys say about the 305. But my goodness me, I fancy one here. It's the 2 mile Bet 365 Celebration Chase. What a lineup we've got. Ryan, give us a full show, and then the listeners will realise just what a great race we've got in store here.
Yeah, Put the Kettle On is 15-8 heads are betting at the moment. Altior in there at 5-2. It's 3-1 Soreal. 11-2 Grenadine, 14 Nutswell, 33 Ornua, and 40-1 Dallas. We're paying three places in this race, so that's a very fair offer for each way.
Oh, that is a fair offer. 50 odds of 3 in a 7-run race. That's good. Okay then, Ryan, fire away. Who wins?
I'm going to go with Grenadine. I'll tell you why. There's a few reasons why I like him. I don't like the ones towards the top of the market. So I think Put the Kettle On, I think we've established at this stage that she's a stone better around Cheltenham. So I think she's vulnerable myself. I think Altior is obviously an 11-year-old now. Putting cheek pieces on him, he can get far enough back in his races early on, races lazy, things like that. And just with the pieces going on, I think that's more a negative than a positive. Obviously, he's had an interrupted season too, so I wouldn't be backing him. Although Soreal has won around Sandown, I prefer him on flatter tracks. I think he shows he's better on flatter tracks. So I'm going with Grenadine, who's improved all season. He doesn't have too much to find on ratings. He was only beaten a couple of lengths in the Champion Chase, and by Put the Kettle On. 11-2, we're offering three places. I think he'll definitely finish in the three. And as I said, I think the front few in the market are vulnerable in this.
Okay, fair enough, Ryan. Keith, who are you going to select?
Well, I'm delighted to hear that Paddy's are offering the three places in this race, because I thought, is that more or less exactly the same as Ryan? Grenadine, if there were three places on offer here, is a smashing each way bet. So that's definitely the bet I'm going to have. Just to add to what Ryan McKasey made, he travelled really well through that Champion Chase, having been out the back in a race where they didn't go all that quick for the standard of race it was. And although So Royal got Willard on a home turn by Rouge VP, who was fading away, he didn't actually make any more ground on Grenadine from two out, and he's half the price, less than half the price. Grenadine only needs to beat one of the big three, and you know, what's Altior got these days, we just don't know. He just needs to beat one of them to get in the three, and you know, he could even win it. So I think an each way bet on him is very much the bet in this race.
Okay, Ryan and Keith have got it wrong. Can you get it right, DJ?
I think this is really straightforward. I really do. I think Skull Royal wins.
Yes, well done, DJ. Full
is that
marks,
who you like,
friend? Here we go. Come on, is tell us why. Like,
yeah. I just think, right, I suppose the starting point has to be Altior. My theory on Altior has been the same basically for the last probably 18 months. I think Altior is too slow for 2 miles, and this is 1 mile, 7.5 furlongs. I just think he's too slow, and we haven't seen enough of him. There's no way possible that Altior can be as good at 11 as he was at 9. Whereas with So Royal, I think he's every bit as good, if not better, at 9 than he was at 7. Now, I just want to make a few points here. So Royal was second in this race in 2019 to Altior. When Altior was at his very best, he traded really short and running So Royal, came with him down to the last, a real battle, proper battle with the real Altior, and he was beaten 2.5 lengths. I think from what we've seen this season, I think So Royal is every bit as good as that now. You go to that champ, like he beat champ, like everybody's going to say, oh, he only beat champ in the game spirit. He absolutely hammered Grenadine. Grenadine was beaten 12 lengths by So Royal in that game spirit. I thought So Royal was brilliant that day because champ jumped brilliantly. Then you go to the Champion Chase, and I actually thought he was going to run a big race in the Champion Chase. Like, I don't know. These things, you can't really put lengths on. But he was beaten 3¾ lengths. Like, maybe if the race developed differently and if he actually got to the front, he wouldn't have won. But surely he lost more than 3¾ lengths with the way he was hampered coming down the hill. Like, he was absolutely battered. He then showed his well-being by the way he stayed on again after the last. Like, if you were told after that incident occurred that he would get it within 3 3/4 lengths of Put the Kettle On, you would have laughed. It was an incredible performance. I just think So Royal is a better horse now than he was 2 years ago. I think he's reliable. I think the Sandown thing, I don't subscribe to that theory at all. I think Put the Kettle On is better at Cheltenham than anywhere else. I think Altior is not as good as he was. And I just think So Royal is a better horse than Greenatine. So I fancy So Royal.
Thanks for the questions, my lord.
Well, it's the point I made about him not making any more ground from two out, though, is what jumps at me about that. You know, it's he should have, he did lose more than 3 3/4 lengths, but we know that doesn't translate.
Yeah, but Keith, he did all his running to get into a challenging position. So if Darrell,
well, so did Greenatine. He was out of, he made up 5 lengths down the hill.
Yeah, when you want to be saving energy, he was using it.
Well, so Royal lost miles more than 3 lengths there. I mean, he was the moral winner of that race. And the other thing I would say, I did say
ahead of Nubi Negra.
Eh?
Ahead of Nubi Negra.
Yeah, he would, definitely.
Oh. Why, Keith? Why do you think Nubi Negra was more unlucky, Keith?
Oh, because he got set an awful, awful lot to do. Now, it was enforced in the case of So Royal. But we know what So Royal does. He's in exactly that position where he was jumping the last more or less upsides in previous champion chases and not done it. So what makes you think he'd have sprinted this year?
No, I'm not saying, I'm a little bit different to Bruce, and I'm not saying he would have won the race. And I think he's the type of horse, maybe if he did get to the front, he wouldn't have won. But I don't know how you can say Nubi Negra was more unlucky than So Royal.
All I would say to the excellent case that DJ said is that So Royal, obviously his record on good ground is absolutely sensational. Apart from the Triumph Hurdle, he's never been out of the two on good ground. You might want to back him on that insure bet where you get a slightly shorter price if one horse beats him. But I think So Royal at 3-1 is a beautiful bet. I really do. So I agree with you, DJ. But the other boys both like Greenatine and they want to take advantage of that excellent Paddy Power offer of 5th of 3 each way in a 7-runner field. Obviously, Ryan can't take advantage of him because he's not allowed to bet with Paddy Power. But Keith can and so can you. Let's move on to what should be the race of the day. It's the 340. It's the 3 mile 5 furlongs. Bet365 Gold Cup. Yeah. Formerly known as the Whitbread, blah, blah, blah. But it is the Bet365 Gold Cup. It's not necessarily the most sensational field of all time. But as ever, a very fascinating betting heat. And Ryan's going to set the scene by giving us Paddy Power's latest prices.
Yeah, Henry de Bromhead looks to plunge another big race in the UK with Plan of Attack. And he's 4-1. Heads are betting for Rachel Blackmore, who goes over to ride him. Kitty's Light is in there at 9-2. It's 11-2. Both El Presente and Enrillo. 8-1 Potterman and 9-1 and bigger the rest.
And Keith, you're going to go first.
Yeah, I said some not too nice things about this race earlier in the week, but I'm gonna renege on that a little bit. I'm gonna backtrack. I think this is actually more competitive than we might have given it credit for. 150 for the top weight, which is Cross Park, isn't actually that bad. I mean, it's below average for a Bet365 Gold Cup, but it's not an absolute standout in terms of poor quality of race. And there's lots of horses here that have been laid out for it, and you know, relatively interesting. Saying that, you know, it's, you know, I can't really say, oh, I've got one here and I absolutely love it. But the one that I've picked out at a price, I'm going to give Golan Fortune one more chance to show that he's actually well handicapped, because he's, you know, he gets £3 off Enrillo, who got found out in a Grade One. In that same Grade One, Golan Fortune was not found out. He finished 8 lengths 4th in the Cowell Star behind Shan Blue. And after that, he didn't look out of place at all up against Next Destination and Fiddler on the Roof at Warwick. He was poorly placed in the Midlands National way back in a field where, when was the last time you saw Midlands National where 15 turned in still in hailing distance? But Golan Fortune had been out the back all the way. It wasn't a race that was going to pan out well for him at all. He's 140 now. I think that's a good mark for him. And I like the booking of Tom Scudamore as well. You know, he won't let the grass go under his feet. You can guarantee that. So, yeah, I think this, in a race where I couldn't guarantee anything's, you know, an absolute snip, you've got 5 places to go at in a 16-runner field. Golan Fortune each way at 10 is a good bet.
Thank you very much, Keith. He goes for Tom Scudamore to take out the big Saturday handicap chase for the second Saturday running. David Jennings, who's your fancy?
I like Irish Prophecy, Bruce. I don't think it's a good race. Look, I said about Scottish National, I thought it was a deplorable race, and this is poor. It's competitive, but it's poor. And you just wanted, like, how much extra intrigue. Like, I'm delighted Clan de Zobo was in Punches then, but it would have been fascinating if he ran here. I just think with Irish Prophecy, I just think Emma Lavelle is in the sticky situation here where she has a horse who needs good ground, and she never actually even runs him on any type of bad ground whatsoever. The worst ground he's ever ran on in his whole life has been good to soft. So he obviously needs good ground. And just to, there's a couple of pieces of form that make him interesting. Like when he was a young horse, he was a really good young horse. He beat Champ in a Kempton bumper on his second start, and he won his first three starts, and then he was beaten by Kalashnikov. He's been very lightly raced since, and I just thought this year everything has been geared towards this race because she knows he needs good ground. Last time he ran in a hurdle race behind Stoner's Choice where he obviously just needed to run, but I thought he ran quite well under 7 pound claimer. Earlier on in the season, he was just beaten a length by El President, who's a much shorter price here at Exeter. They had a ding-dong battle all the way up the home straight. Look, he's not absolutely chucked in off a mark of 142, but he's been laid out for the race. He loved the ground. He's not a high jumper, but he's quite a slick, quick jumper. And I think if he does get into a rhythm around here, I think Irish Prophecy has got a big chance. And he is 14 to 1 with Paddy Power.
One vote for Golden Fortune, one vote for Irish Prophecy, and one vote for...
Enrillo, I'm going to go for. Champion trainer-elect Paul Nichols. Harry Skelton was obviously crowned champion jockey. I'm hoping they can team up here with Enrillo. He won a decent little six-runner handicap chase at Newbury back in February. Hold a note, he beat a half and then he came out and ran well at the Cheltenham Festival. He obviously pulled up in that race at Kempton at Christmas. So as I said, he did bounce back to form. I think there's enough reasons in his form to suggest that 143, the mark he's on now, he still has a bit to work with in that. I suppose the trip is the slight worry for him, but the fact it's been ran on good ground here, I can't imagine the race is going to be turned into a slog. So I just think Enrillo's an improver, to be honest. So at around 11 to 2, I thought he could run well.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gents. That is Sandown done. We'll do the other TV races next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Keith Melrose and Paddy Powers, Ryan McHugh. Looking at two more ITV races on Saturday. And we'll start with the 210 at Leicester. It's the elusive bloodstock EBF Stallions King Richard III stakes over 7 furlongs. Just the 5 go to post, but they all look like they've got a chance according to the betting, Ryan.
Yeah, Lord Campari is 13-8 heads our betting. Pogo's in there 5-2, the top rated. 7-2 Mum's Tipple, 6-1 Shine So Bright, and the outsider of the field has beat Lebon at the ends.
David Jennings, who do you like here?
I like Lord Campari. He was disappointing last year when he beat Sarah at Newbury. I thought, here we go. Here we have an absolute superstar. And he was just so fresh and keen in that Bahrain International at the illicit race at Newbury on the July course. Like he was sent off evens that day. Like against good horses, like Al Suhail won it. And it was all over after 2 furlongs. You could just forget about it because he was just too buzzy. Then he finished off his campaign at Deauville in a Group 3. Ran okay. Now, okay. But I just always thought he had the makings when he did settle and when he did relax, that he had the makings of a lovely, lovely horse. And I'm hoping this is a nice race to bring him back into. Roger Varian has been in good form in the last week. He's thrown out plenty of winners. And it's potential, and others have done more than him. But I think potential might just win out here with Lord Campari.
Thanks, DJ. Ryan, who do you like?
Yeah, it is a trappy little race, but I thought Shine So Bright at the prices. He's around 6-1. I thought he was of interest. I think a big key to me liking him is the fact that he's had a couple of runs this season. I think that counts for a lot, especially at this time of year. DJ said, Lord Campari, you just hope he can switch off. And if he does, he's obviously entitled to be favoured. But I think Shine So Bright, he's probably better over 7 furlongs. He ran over 6 furlongs just over a week ago at Newmarket. And the fact, as I said, he's had a couple of runs, whereas Pogo and Lord Campari, the two of the head of the betting, haven't. I think that might sway in his favour around 6-1.
Okay. Keith, your selection?
I know we're on a podcast for a traditional bootmaker here, but I just do not like that price about Lord Campari and just want to get against him. I mean, I get the potential thing, but that's 10 months ago that he ran that massive race at Newbury. He's got, even on his best, even on that form, he'd have to improve £10 on it to trouble Pogo at his best. He'd have to improve £10. He could be about a head in front of Mum's Tipple, who's had 2 runs, I think, to get fit, or 3 runs, actually, to get fit so far this season. He'd still be half a stone behind not half a stone, 4 or 5 pound line shines so bright, and he'd have 5-6 pounds to find on Beat the Bond, who's outside of the field. He's got to do a lot more improving than his price suggests. If I had to nominate one to go against him, it would be Mum's Tipple on the basis of that, those runs he has behind them so far this year. I think he's going to improve a little bit more as a four-year-old. But yeah, it's just, I've just backed something against this Lord Campari at that price because there's a lot of potential, a lot of work being done by that potential at that price.
Keith, is Pogo not just a kind of solid choice who would give you a great run for his money? I mean, he's, all the ratings suggest he's up there.
I don't think he'll be fit, is my guess. If Charlie Hills was on this podcast and said, oh, by the way, lads, this horse is definitely fit, he's undoubtedly the best because his form last year is really good. He was third of 105 in the Hunt Cup, won a listed race at Windsor. He was third in the Espahan. You know, just loads of really good form last year. But because his form's so good, I suspect a listed race at Leicester on his reappearance isn't going to be the big day and he'll probably come on for it. But yeah, if I could guarantee you Pogo was fit, I'd say he should definitely be favourite.
Fair enough. Okay, then, let's do our other ITV race on Saturday. It's the 250. It's the Kisumo Best Odds Guaranteed Handicap. It's over 7 furlongs. Plenty of runners. Wide open, Ryan.
Yeah, 4 places we're paying in this, Bruce, and I think punters will need it. I found it very difficult myself. Dream Loper heads the betting at 7-2. Persuasion's in there at 5-1. Marshall Dan is at 7s. Admiralty 17-2, and it's 9-1 for the rest.
David Jennings, good luck. You can go first.
Oh, look, Bruce, of all the races that we went through for Saturday, I've given this one the least time. I'd say about 7.5 minutes if I was to guess. The one I came down on, but no strong opinion, won't have a bet, was Firmament. Look, Firmament is Firmament, and he's a 9-year-old now. But I just thought, first time out last season, he ran quite well over a mile at Newcastle. He traded quite short and running, and I didn't think he just quite got home in his first start of the season over a mile. So it's interesting they're starting him off over 7 this time. And I know you have to go way back, and it's 2016, but he did win first time out in 2016 as a 3-year-old, I presume, if he's 9 now. 4-year-old, sorry, my math's wrong, as a 4-year-old. He did win first time out as a 4-year-old. He ran quite well first time out as a 5-year-old in a listed race. So he does go well fresh. I think 7 furlongs starting off is a perfect trip for him. It's not a strong fancy. I won't be having a bet, but I think Firmament would be my choice.
Cool. That's the straw clutch of the day award, I think, there. He won first time out 6 years ago. Cheers, DJ.
Well, he ran well first time out last year as well.
All right, mate. Fair enough. Ryan, who's your selection?
I've actually no selection this, Bruce. A very tricky race. And just to remind punters that 4 places we're paying, and I think that's they'll need every place they can get.
Absolutely. Keith, are you going to proffer a selection here?
I am. I was a bit light, DJ. I thought after 2 minutes of looking at this race, I thought, there is, am I hell having a bet in this? But I looked a bit more and I persevered. And I found one in the end that I think at 14s in the 4 places is worth the bet. And it's another Bat, who's not been long with David Barron, who didn't have the very best of seasons last year, but he won on his first start for Barron over 6 at Thirsk. And after that, he ran in some really good races, including the Air Gold Cup. And then his last run even was a Heritage Handicap over York over 6F. I think historically he's been better over 7 in a mile than 6. He's older now, he might be getting a bit faster, and Barron's obviously very good with sprinters. But 7 furlongs on his reappearance, he's down to a mark just a pound higher than what he won off on his first start for David Barron. And I think he could have even better than that this year in his locker, given the way the yard's been going. So, yeah, I think at 14s, it's a sporting bet. I'm not going to pretend this is an apple a day or anything, because as Ryan says, it's a very tough race. But another Bat is, I think, bet worthy at that price.
Thank you. We'll get the naps and all the other Saturday and Sunday fancies in just a jiffy.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.
OK, welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. We've done all the TV action. Let's see what the boys fancy on Saturday and Sunday away from the ITV cameras. We've got the rest of Leicester, the rest of Sandown, and the rest of Haydock. They are racing over Ripon on Saturday, also Doncaster, Wolverhampton, and in Ireland, we've got a meeting at Limerick. So, without giving your naps away, chaps, what do you like? David Jennings.
The first place I'm going to go to is the 4 o'clock at Haydock, Bruce. A horse called Alabama Bay for Ed Walker and Hector Crouch. I think this horse could be potentially thrown in off of Marcus 70. His final start last season was at Kempton in one of them novice stakes. Royal Fleet won it. The second hard horse to pronounce, I think it's pronounced Isla Eam, it's running today. It's Isla Eam for Simon and Ed Crisford. He was second in it. He won since and is now rated 89. And I just thought it looked a really good novice race. Before that, he was beaten. He was midfield behind Bull Ace at Kempton as well. And I just think this is the perfect kind of late developing 3-year-old for Ed Walker. And wouldn't be surprised if he proves that mark of 70 to be certainly not the ceiling of his ability. So that is Alabama Boy, in the 4 o'clock at Haydock. And just one other one, Bruce, in a later race at Sandown in the 4:15. If I had one guess here, Bruce, it would be, I have no idea what our friend and colleague Paul Keely is tipping, but I can guarantee you, well, I'd be pretty sure one of his Saturday sizzlers will be You Never Call, because I know he's a massive fan of the horse, and the horse won the race 2 years ago, and he'll probably be favoured. But I think Pick Dory has had a light season, and I think it's about time now, and I know me and Keith like the horse, it's about time he bloody grew up and started doing things right. There was signs of life at Taunton last time. This is a really good horse. And one of these seasons, he's going to put it all together, hopefully next season over fences. I think he could be a very good horse. He's still a novice next season, but this is the perfect race for him. 2 miles.
Kills, you're live on the podcast. Do not swear. Are you tipping You Never Call at Sandown tomorrow?
I haven't tipped it in the paper, but I do fancy it.
Okay, thanks, mate. See ya. There you go. You were right, DJ.
I got the place part of my each way bet up. He does fancy it, but he's not tipping it in the paper.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
You but anyway, cool. I think anything to add?
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much, David Jennings. Ryan McHugh, what are your other Saturday fancies?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Limerick for one, Bruce. I like Druck in the 4:05. He stayed on well over a mile at Goran Park just over 2 weeks ago. He was fitted with cheap piece for the first time that day. I think the cheapies and the switch to handicaps definitely brought out a bit of improvement. He went off 66-1 that day. He won't be that sort of price on Saturday, but I think he's gone up £3 for that run, but he was eye-catching in the way he saw the race over a mile. He steps up to nearly a mile and a half here. Doesn't look the strongest of races to me on paper, so I think Druck can run well in that 4:05 in Limerick.
Thank you very much, Ryan. And Keith, what have you got for us, my friend?
Yeah, I was desperate to have a bet in the 4:50 at Sandown, the last chase of the season, but I can't. It's such a competitive race, but do set your recorders for it, because you will get...
What about Killer Clown? We're a Killer Clown
like him,
fans,
but,
aren't we?
I mean, we do like that horse. I know we do, and, you know, there's so many other horses. I mean, he wasn't. I've got two in that race that flagged up on my track, and he wasn't one of them. So that gives you a big clue about the standard of race we're looking at. You know, unless I look at the prices and there's something that stands out a mile, I'll leave the race alone and watch it and use it as a basis for when I get asked in October, what's your horse to follow this year, and just pick whatever I thought you'd tell in this race. I don't really have much on Saturday. I alluded to the 3:50 at Ripon. There's 22 grand, only three turned up, including two trained by Mark Johnson. I think the other horse might win it, Majinski. He's shaped like he'll definitely come on for the reappearance run last time. The Max Weekend got an absolutely brilliant ride at Musselburgh. And, you know, without those two runs, he'd actually be £7 closer. So Rajinski, who didn't shape at all badly last time, might be one to beat those Johnson horses at Ripon, but it's not a particularly strong one.
Thank you very much, Keith. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Keith Melrose.
Yeah, and each way bet on Grenadine is probably my strongest bet on the day.
And that's in the 3:05 at Sandown. David Jennings?
Oh, sure. It's got to be So Royal. 3-1 now. I think he'll go our favour, Bruce.
Yeah, well done, DJ. And Ryan?
Yeah, although I won't be able to avail of the three places, I'm in agreement with Grenadine in the 3:05 Sandown.
Everyone goes for Grenadine. Me and David Jennings are on So Royal, and Keith and Ryan are on Grenadine each way. Okay, thank you very much, chaps. Before you go, let's just have a quick shifty at Sunday. There's three cards. We've got a couple of listed races over at Navan, DJ's local track, and then we've got Salisbury and Wetherby in England. David, have you got anything for us?
Yeah, interesting card. I always find this time of year is kind of treacherous, but the Committed Stakes sprint at 3:20 is fascinating, because there's a lot of potentially decent sprinters in here. But I think Lipizzaner, given the way Aidan O'Brien's team have started the season, I think Lipizzaner could be a sprinter to follow this season. I think, like, he's not going to be a big price or anything like that, but I do think it's one for your multiples. Like, he ran in the juvenile turf sprint at Keeneland in the Breeders' Cup. He was only beaten 3.5 lengths, and he got outpaced and stayed on. It was a really good performance. He was a listed winner at Doncaster before that. I think you're only going to see the best of Lipizzaner this season. And he is the, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't put anybody off having a few quid on him for the Commonwealth Cup. I think he could be that good. So that's Lipizzaner in the 320. And later on in the card, the 350 is the Salsabelle Stakes. It's a listed race for fillies. And the one I like on this is it's down the bottom. It's another Aidan O'Brien horse. It's Willow. Again, Willow is she's a daughter of American Pharoah. And just last time at Leopardstown under Shamie Heffernan, I just love what she did from the turn into the straight to the line. It wasn't though she travelled, and it wasn't like she wouldn't poke your eye out with the way she travelled or anything. But it was just a gradual step up from debut to the run at Leopardstown in July. And then after a break of 85 days at Leopardstown again, she just strikes me as a real kind of Oaksy type for the Ballydoyle team. So I think Willow and Lipizzaner, I think it could be a good day for Aidan O'Brien.
Cheers, Dave. Ryan?
Yeah, the 420, the Vintage Crop is a very interesting race. I think Master Reality may be able to take that. Baron Samedi's obviously stepping up to Group 3 class. He's looking for 6 wins on the bounce. Santiago is in it as well. It looks a really interesting race, but Master Reality gets weighed off the two I mentioned there. I think he might be up to win that Vintage Crop.
Okay, and Keith.
Yeah, I spent about 20 minutes before I came on this podcast looking at the 5:30 at Salisbury on Sunday and just swithering about whether to put on Gunnar Sensen's 2019 figure to suggest that he might be the top rated in that race, and it did in the end. It's a 0-65, mile 6 handicap. It's obviously a fairly nondescript race. There's a few interesting four-year-olds, but this Gunnar Sensen, on his first start at Newmarket in a back-end maiden that year, just shaped with so much promise and did so again on his second run there. He's beaten something like 3 or 4 rivals in 4 handicap runs since, but he's come down £15 for it, and the last two have both been at Linfield. Now, this horse is a galoot in the nicest possible sense.
He's a what?
Galoot.
What's that?
Oh, it's a big gangly thing that does.
Can I ask a question on one of your sayings, Keith? Earlier on, you say Tom Scudamore wouldn't let the grass grow. What does that mean?
Wouldn't let the grass grow under his feet?
Yeah.
Oh, it just means, you know, won't be sitting around waiting.
Yeah, I got that, but I'm intrigued about a galoot.
I thought it was a Western thing, you know, like John Wayne would see it or something, but I don't know where it's come from. It's just something I've picked up along the way. A galoot is just a big sort of lummox, really. A big plodder, really, is what Gunnar Sensen is. And, you know, Linfield's not been his bag. He's been given, you know, he's not been knocked about once, beaten and all that. I think a mile 6, long turf straight, he's going to win a few handicaps on turf this year. And I'm going to back him to do so off 65 at Salisbury on Sunday.
What a lovely way to end the show with a Rafe Beckett tip. Go on, King Rafe. Righto, chaps, thank you very much indeed for your excellent input. I hope that's helped to arm you with all sorts of wisdom and decent tips for what should be a wonderful weekend. Enjoy it. Good luck with your bets. Please do bet safely, as we always say. And also, please join Maddie on Monday to review the action even. I'll be back next Friday when we'll be looking ahead to Punchestown. But most importantly, it's 2,000 Guineas Day. Do please join us for that.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.